So we're going to do records retention first. The auditor's here, waiting for...
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, Madam Auditor, committee members, I'm Ben Barry. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for the City of Portland and the Director of the Bureau of Technology Services. I'm here to speak on behalf of the IT infrastructure dealing with the enterprise server, better known as the mainframe, and how we are now asking for an ad package. This is to mitigate the fiscal impact on the Police Bureau and the Office of the Auditor. BTS is submitting a 2014-2015 decision package to request $537,252 in one-time general fund money for the Police Bureau and the Auditor's Office. And this is because of two things: continued use of the mainframe through June 2015, and B, mitigate the effects of the reallocation of the mainframe billing rates that will now be based on utilization and no longer based on fixed rates dating back to the year 2007. Bottom line, we have 9 customers who have been billed for the mainframe, and yet 7 of those customers have been off the mainframe for a while now. In fact, the last 2 remaining customers are the Portland Police Bureau. They have the police data system, PPDS, which is now earmarked to come off the mainframe by, at the best case, December of 2014 this year, worst case, April 2015 next year. And we also have the Auditor's Office lien accounting system, which we do have an RFP set of responses that have come back from vendors. We are earmarked to work with the Auditor's Office in a meeting tomorrow on a final dissertation as to what we're going to do in terms of migrating that system off the mainframe. We also have a few amount of resources based on the Water Bureau billing application and historical financial data off of IBIS, which will be off by June of this year. Just to give you an example of the 9 customers, the ones who have not been using the mainframe but are still being billed for the mainframe, the OMF General Ledger, the OMF Accounts Payable Services, the Citywide Budget Office, CBO, the OMF Payroll Human Resources customer, the OMF Human Resources customer, and the OMF Purchasing customer. The adjusted percentages for this change in how we will bill based on utilization will place the police data system at 93.38% of the cost of the mainframe, and the Office of the Auditor's Auditor Lien Accounting System, which is property liens, at 6.62%. That is my case for the ad package that OMF BTS is presenting. And I do have members here who might want to speak on behalf of that ad package.
Okay. Good afternoon, folks. Mike Krebs, Portland Police. And I would ask that you support Mr. Barry's request. If this money, this $588,000, if it comes out of our budget, we'll take it out of EMS, which could impact our ability to send officers off to training. It will also cut back on our ability to buy technology. Right now, went to a CJIS compliance audit. CJIS is the Criminal Justice Information System, which is operated by the FBI. And it's requiring us to buy some technology to make sure that our cell phones, our iPads, and computers are compliant with encryption-type devices. And these devices are necessary for us to gain compliance with the state. The state of Oregon came in and looked at us and said, "You're out of compliance. We want a plan on how you're going to figure this out." So this money would help us, the money that's requested here would help us be able to get some of those tools to make our items and our computer CJIS compliant. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Mike Cripps.
Sarah Landis, Auditor's Office. I just want to also state that we support the ad package. The impact to the Auditor's Office LID fund would be from our contingency, and those funds are really desperately needed right now. As Ben mentioned, we're in a process of trying to migrate the lien accounting system off of the mainframe, and any dollars that go to pay maintenance of the mainframe currently are dollars that we cannot spend on replacing that system. The RFP proposals that have been returned were significantly more expensive than we had originally intended, and we're very concerned about our ability to pay. So even though it's only $50,000 or $55,000 and a small portion of the maintenance costs for the mainframe next year, it's a big impact for us and our ability to pay for replacing the system.
Sarah Lowe, City Budget Office. On this issue, CBO is actually recommending that the enterprise server savings generated in the Office of Management and Finance in CBO based on the new reallocation actually be used to offset the costs in the police bureau. In terms of the auditor's office, those costs are currently reside in the local improvement district fund, as Sarah noted, and CBO recommends that they use that dedicated fund source to cover those cost increases. However, we do acknowledge that there will be impacts to that fund because of that.
Question?
Actually, just Chris, before you, one clarification. Because of the overhead nature of the savings, even using sort of the savings that would accrue to existing bureaus that are paying for it, transferring those savings to Police Bureau, it does leave Police Bureau short because, again, they're a full 100% discretionary unit, and I think they'd be short a couple hundred thousand dollars still.
So that's correct.
Mitigate the impact in police, but not eliminate.
Not fully.
So if I understand it correctly, this is maintenance costs for the mainframe. Is that correct?
This is maintenance support of the mainframe.
Is that, well, first question is, how much longer do we expect to have a mainframe?
We are targeting no longer than June of 2015 to get off the mainframe.
Is this hardware maintenance or software maintenance?
This is a combination of the two. We have licenses, operating system, as well as applications and hardware.
And
plus the three individuals who support it.
Okay, certainly understand the hardware support. On the software side, is it a required license, or is it simply, you know, the ability to get support on demand for problems?
No, this is vendor supported licenses for the applications and operating system that run the mainframe.
Okay, so you can't run the applications without the licenses.
Exactly.
The point I was going to make is that we sometimes, when we have a system we know is at end of life, we stop paying maintenance, so, you know, we may not get upgrades, we may not get other things, but, you know, the system is stable. It's not likely to have problems that we need vendor support for, so we sometimes terminate those support contracts. It sounds like that may not be an option here.
And to that question, we have taken a number of things off the mainframe, but those that remain, we have licensing for Computer Associates, Elixir, SAS, SAS, Syncort, Software AG, the IBM hardware, the IBM software, the IBM capital license, and some minor things for maintenance.
Thank you.
Good. Let's move on to
records.
Good afternoon. LaVon Griffin-Blade, City Auditor, and here with me today is my Chief Deputy Auditor and manager of pretty much most of the Bureau, Sarah Landis, along with her team from records and from archives and records management. So I'd like to start out with a comment that, and I think Chris Smith and Commissioner Novick will agree with me, that orange is the fashion statement of the day. So we were a bit surprised to find that this proposal had been put into the technology packages group. Technology is really just a minor part of this proposal. It's really about addressing deficiencies in our information infrastructure and getting the city to a better place in its management of electronic records. We already own the technology, so our ask is to purchase enough licenses for a citywide rollout, to hire staff to make that happen, to obtain the capacity to train city employees, and to move the city further down the path toward fulfilling statutory and code requirements. Technology, as we all know, is changing the way we communicate at an amazing speed, but that does not change the requirements we have to maintain our records for legal, operational, and transparency purposes. New communication tools allow for the creation of records in many formats dispersed among multiple repositories. Without active management, however, today's recorded city history will be irretrievable. So I'm going to turn it over to Sarah at this point.
Thank you, Sarah Landis, City Auditor's Office. Unfortunately, there's not much time in this session to go over the details of the request that we have, but we have presented the report of the TRIM Steering Committee to Council late last summer. The budget, a draft of the budget, this package was included in that report. It hasn't changed substantially since then. And we have also provided briefings along with the City Attorney's Office to council members on the issues that would be addressed in this package over the last few months. Specifically, the request would allow us to implement the recommendations of a citywide steering committee, TRIM steering committee, over a period of 5 years. And it would allow us to provide in-depth citywide training and on record keeping and on TRIM, purchase TRIM licenses and provide support for deployment citywide, and develop compliance monitoring and reporting tools for council. Total cost at the time of budget development was $4.2 million over 5 years, with an initial investment in year one of $1.1 million. This will need some refinement and is expected to decline slightly as our storage cost estimates have changed somewhat. The upfront costs, about half of them are for license purchases. The vendor, which is HP, Hewlett-Packard, has agreed to let us spread that out over 3 years should we wish to do so. So that could reduce the initial ask in year one as well, but it would increase it in the out years. We do recognize that there are significant constraints on the budget at this time, but we needed to point out that this issue is not going away. If we do not fund it, it will get more expensive, the problem will grow, and we will expose ourselves to more risk in the future.
So we're happy to answer any of your questions you have about the proposal, but we also want to ensure there is enough time for the city attorney to discuss her related proposal on this topic.
Should we also acknowledge that we have a celebrity budget advisory committee member here today?
Yes, we should.
Brian Wilson. Taking time out from something else he's doing to be with us today.
Brian has been active on our budget advisory committee for the last 3 or 4 years, one of the two.
Four,
I think.
Well, we know you have a busy schedule with us. Thank you for choosing
to
be with us.
Thank you very much, Brian.
I have just one question, and that is your response to the city budget offices noting that we have over 450 licenses that we're not currently using.
Right. My understanding is that those licenses were originally purchased for an OMF rollout a number of years ago, and that never happened. The commitment, when the leadership changed there, the commitment wasn't there to roll it out. So we do have we have 450 licenses available now.
And that's factored into your request.
The request is on top of that.
And the challenge I have found just with my small staff is it takes the it takes the director and the commissioner in charge to make sure that the staff comply. As you just noted, there was a directive to do and provided funding in OMF, and yet it didn't happen.
Right.
So I'm concerned as to how adding three staff in the city auditor's office will change that dynamic.
There will be more of a focus on reporting and on compliance with the administrative rules that are currently in place and with mandatory training, so that we would be coming back to council and reporting to you on how your bureaus are doing in implementing TRIM and how they're doing on their overall plan, which they currently have a responsibility to develop but have not, to properly ensure that their records are retained and available.
Can I speak on this, Sarah? Ben Berry. In the Bureau of Technology Services, we have commissioned a project for a records retention schedule first so that we can define which records we want to have go into TRIM. And I've retained a retiree to work on this as a project. Once we have that records retention schedule, then we will contact the auditor's office and begin to use those licenses that we can of the 450 for the Bureau of Technology Services.
So why don't we turn to the city attorney's office, because I think there's some pretty strong recommendations there on the subject as well.
All right, thank you. Tracy Reeve, city attorney. Our office has been working closely with the auditor's office and the Bureau of Technology Services on the issue of records and records retention, and while the auditor's focus is primarily on the archiving obligations, which is within their area of responsibility. We have related but not identical concerns, particularly with public records management and litigation and e-discovery management. We're asking for an additional attorney and paralegal dedicated to records management, public records requests, electronic discovery, policy development, and training to work on these issues, both from the legal aspects and then on a complementary basis to work with the auditor's office on training so that we're addressing these issues holistically. And as we're archiving documents, we're building in the systems for public records management and for litigation, e-discovery, and litigation holds. Generally, adding these positions would help us ensure that the city is compliant with its legal obligations in the areas of public records, records retention, and electronic discovery. We've seen a dramatic increase in the number of public records requests we as a city are receiving, and particularly that we in the city attorney's office are handling. We think that the number of requests that we've handled in the last 2 years has tripled. We support the Oregon Public Records Law as a pillar of good and open government in Oregon. The city policy is to support that as well, but while we believe the city is compliant with its obligations, we're concerned that our compliance is somewhat haphazard. We don't have citywide policies in place. We don't have any system in place to track public records citywide and our responses and dates. Similarly, electronic discovery regulations and legal obligations have increased dramatically in the last few years. And while we do our utmost to comply with those, again, we feel that we're in a fighting fires and catch-as-catch-can mode, and that this is an area where a failure to comply could involve very substantial legal liability on part of the city or sanctions, fines, and even an adverse determination. There are instances where courts direct liability against entities for failing to comply with their records obligations, even where that's inadvertent. We want to continue to ensure that we are monitoring and complying with the rapidly changing technologies in records management and in electronic discovery. We want to avoid the risks of sanctions and adverse legal results, as I mentioned. These positions would enable us to work more closely with BTS and the auditor on retention issues, training, policy development citywide, and to improve public records management citywide. And, you know, I want to emphasize, and I've met individually with each of you, and I don't want to go into confidential legal advice in public, but we do face real legal risks in our current situation, and before we have those realized, we think it would be prudent to make this investment now to avoid much greater costs down the road. And I'd be happy to respond to any questions. Jennifer Johnston, Senior Deputy City Attorney with me here, has been working very closely on these issues as well.
If I could offer a comment on this, because I think it's safe to say with the two utilities that I lead, we are arguably in the front lines of some of the issues that you're trying to get ahead of here. And I also would say that this doesn't neatly fit under the heading of technology requests, because this is actually goes to the heart of how a government functions. And there has been a sea change in how people seek information. And I think the best example is the last 3 years in our two utilities. We are defending a lawsuit that challenges over $100 million of expenses, of expenditures, with extremely broad discovery requests that come in waves. We are responding to public records requests on a daily basis that come from concerned citizens, media, 501c3s, 501c4s. The entire changing landscape of politics is reflected in this. And while we celebrate the fact that we have laws that give everyone access to these documents, the fact is that one of the bigger risk factors for us is that we produce documents under one request but not in another. And that is very easy to do when you're talking about thousands and thousands of pages of documents. There's been a huge ramp up in just understanding about how one responds to these things, what the legal duties are. And this is uniquely not something you can just push down to the bureau level, because the liability costs attached to the city. And if there was ever an area that requires a uniform system for addressing this, both from complying with our democratic government functions of being transparent and providing information, the risk assessment side, and then coordinating the litigation and the public records, it's this. And all I can say is in the last 3 or 4 years, we've gone from essentially the Pony Express to FedEx in terms of technological change. And I don't think it's really – we also live in an era now where often a lot of the reporting that's done starts with a public records request that covers everything in the building and then follow-up questions and concerns. So there's been a seismic shift, and we and every other governmental entity has to catch up, and not just to make sure we're being compliant and responsive, but also to make sure that we're protecting the liability issues, because there's an intersection here of a lot of confidential stuff and making sure the left hand and the right hand are coordinated. I actually view this as, frankly, a modest request when you look at it in terms of the burdens and risks that we're addressing, and it's probably just a down payment. But I think this this needs to be red circled as not just nice to have or need to have, or this is essential to have if we're going to continue to function and meet our legal obligations. And I've gotten a crash course in this stuff, and I think it's still changing and evolving. But the one thing we know is the trend line is only going to get more complex for us and more problematic. And the consequences of not being coordinated left hand, right hand, even within bureaus, across bureaus, and then in other settings is phenomenal. So this is on my short list because I think we have no choice but to make this investment. And I look forward to having essentially some record czars who can help everybody do their job better and more efficiently, because it is taking up an enormous amount of time and energy at the bureau level.
I want to talk in support as well, not with the utility bureaus, but with Right to Dream 2. Very, very broad request from one media outlet that they were charged $9,000 for. I'm pretty certain it probably cost even more to sort through the thousands of emails and other documents that were involved in that. And some of them were attorney-client privilege protected and couldn't be released. If I don't have the knowledge to be able to go through those myself, and if I had to, it would have taken an enormous amount of time. And so I very much appreciate this request and the need for it, and will support it.
I have a question for the CBO, which is, when you guys are making your assessments, do you take risk assessment into account on this? I mean, how do you make the determination when you're deciding whether or not something is a recommended budget priority, what the risks associated with not doing it are?
We do take risk into account just generically on issues. And I would say that a lot of the issues and a lot of the requests that come forward carry some level of risk. So another example would be ADA compliance. There's significant risk to the city if we don't make some progress on ADA compliance. But there's also a judgment issue there in terms of what that progress is and what progress means. Does it mean just putting together a plan? Does it mean actually beginning to implement the plan? And those are some complicated questions. So I think similar here, there are clearly risks involved with this package. And so it is one factor that we take into account. And although I guess what I would say is, given the lack of additional resources to invest in additional things, there are a lot of things that we can't fund that carry some level of risk. One of the things that also, this was part of the guidance that was sent out earlier to bureaus, was to also look for realignments in areas where risks are really, really high. And mm-hmm. so I think the budget question for council this year will be, to the extent we need to move forward on this, are there realignments that could happen, or do we need to invest new resources?
Yeah, I noticed that the report itself said that it didn't look like realignments were going to be feasible for this office without significant impact on other legal services provided. So, I mean, that's just an issue for consideration.
Well, Rob, I just want to applaud you for framing it the way you did, because we had a discussion this morning. One of our first speakers who came to council this morning was speaking in favor of something called Housing First, a strategy to get people off the streets and housed. And the principle is that it costs you a fortune to have people on the sidewalks in terms of all the externalized costs. If you get someone housed, you have a fighting chance to deal with their life challenges. But there's an enormous savings. And I view this as a similar thing. If without this, what we do is externalize the costs, and they become enormously burdensome for council offices, bureaus. But worse, without a legal sort of rabbi, without someone at the top of the food chain monitoring and supervising and coordinating this, we're not even getting at the legal risk, Scott. Mm-hmm. We don't have someone doing the risk assessment on an ongoing basis and making sure that privileged or confidential information is not inadvertently disclosed, or making sure that we haven't disclosed it in one proceeding but not the other, which then gives rise to, you know, potentially adverse rulings from a court that says, you know, why you've been inconsistent in how you've released information, and on. So the costs here are huge. They just happen to be externalized, and we all bear them. This is, I think, an effort again to rationalize this system and provide some coordination out of the legal office.
And we have, you know, explored as much realignment as we can. We have been bringing a lot of outside legal counsel work in-house to try to save funds that way, but that, again, takes our attorney time. We have an attorney through an internship that is working with us free for a year and providing, you know, wonderful and valuable legal services without us having to pay for them. So we have a variety of areas where we're doing that, but we've had very substantial, I mean, we looked at the hours that our attorneys are working, and if you added up the hours above the expected amount, I mean, obviously we expect to work more than 40 hours a week on occasion, but we're having over 1.5 position, what would be 1.5 attorney positions, just in the amount of extra time that our attorneys are working.
So a question about paradigm shift in a little bit different direction. Of course, beyond open records, there's the idea of open data. The city has an open data policy, so that essentially citizens can self-serve in looking for the data they want. Does TRIM support open data, and does the non-confidential information in TRIM get exposed in a way that citizens can access it directly?
We're going to have Tim Hunt, who is the records management manager, address your question.
Thank you. Records that go into TRIM that by the Bureau have been designated as being open to the public are immediately accessible via our e-files interface to TRIM. And so those decisions are made at the Bureau level. And as soon as a record goes into a classification that says anybody can view this, it is immediately available.
And the synergy, I think, between our two requests is that if we can provide more legal advice to the bureaus to have larger groups of those records designated as not going to be exempt and then get them into TRIM, more of those records can be available and less attorney time would be spent reviewing those records. So there's sort of a, I don't know, in the negative it's a catch-22, but if we can turn it around in the positive, the more efficient we are with this, the more public records will be available and the more efficient we can be with what needs to have actual legal review and legal advice. But when bureaus are not using TRIM and we get public records, then more attorney time is spent responding to those public records. So we're either going to be moving positively forward and be more efficient, or we're going to be moving negatively, always behind, and using more and more disproportionate resources and still not being able to effectively meet all the legal demands that bureaus have.
If I can grossly oversimplify that, more TRIM licenses should mean more open data, right?
Is the default that they are open and go right into e-files, or the default that they're not?
Sorry.
For most bureaus, the default is that they are not, but it's we go to individual bureaus and make those decisions ahead of time.
How about mine?
Yours, by default, are not open to the public?
So then somebody at some point is going to have to go through my 60,000 emails and figure out which ones go into e-files.
Well, I think, no, they're already, I mean, what, when the day comes that you leave office and those, your records would get, become part of the city's historical collection, at that point they would be open to the public. They would be reviewed by the archivists to see.
You're going to have to get a new, an extra position in the 16-17 budget. Thank you.
So,
see what you did?
But by default, they're not out there
Yikes.
Yet.
By answering all those emails.
Perhaps you can come back in retirement and and yeah. volunteer.
Okay. Other questions about this item? And then we've got a couple more. You're right. We've got the mobile technology budget office request. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Jay Guo, Senior Business Operation Manager with the Portland Fire and Rescue. For the sake of time, I will keep it brief. We have one technology request that includes two components. The first one is a 116,000 one-time funding for a mobile device or tablet on all frontline fire apparatus or and at all fire stations. And the second component is a 150,000 one-time request for mobile software enhancement for our fire inspection information system. With this enhancement, fire inspector will be able to access information and enter data on the field. The goal of the mobility enhancement is to improve fire inspection efficiency and enhance customer services. So that's kind of a brief summary. Any questions?
Maybe not. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll bring us home on this. So the City Budget Office has submitted a $1 million request to replace the city's budget software system, and that's overhead and discretionary funding. So again, it's about $461,000 of discretionary funding. The current city budget software, which is called Brass, was implemented in 2003. It continues to provide the basic tools for budget preparation and monitoring that we use. However, it is an unsupported operating system. When the city moved to Windows 7 in 2011, the vendor who supports Brass notified us that they would not be updating Brass to comply with Windows 7, and they encouraged us to move to their new product, which again is not surprising. We tested it on Windows 7. It seems to work fine. And we've been using it on Windows 7 since that transition. So the reason why we've put this out as a request is to sort of highlight the unsupported nature of the system. I do want to point out that my analysts did not recommend in favor of this. So I've requested a new budget analyst. take another look at this. But
there's no double standard.
Actually, in all seriousness, I mean, this is one of those issues that we really put on the table because council needs to know. I think this is really illustrative of other technology and infrastructure issues in the city. I don't think it's unique. The system works fine for us right now. As long as it continues to work fine, we'll be able to continue to use it. I will say when it stops working, you will notice the difference, because not only will we not be able to provide you with the types of information requests that you ask, but the analysts within your bureaus will start spending an enormous amount of time essentially compiling the budget on spreadsheets. And although, again, when we talk about what's a critical need and critical infrastructure, we could still do a budget without a centralized budget software system, but the amount of time and effort that it would take, not only in my office, but actually in all the bureaus, would be enormous. So again, when it comes to life safety issues, this probably isn't that high up there. When it comes to just a pure sort of workplace productivity issue, it could be if it fails. So again, we're putting this out there more to make sure that everyone's aware of it, so that you, in case it does fail, I can always point back and say, well, see, I asked for the money to replace it. But again, I don't think this is any different than a lot of other sort of outdated or unsupported technology in the city. Again, I think it's sort of illustrative of the need to continue looking for ways to fund these things as we go forward, because it will need to be replaced at some point.
I just wanted to point out, Andrew, that it could be worse. It could be running on a mainframe. I'm just saying. Because we still have things that are.
Our old system was running on the mainframe. We got off in 2003. I would note that up until this year, we were actually still being charged for the mainframe.
So, Andrew, if this is funded this year or sometime in the future, is there your plan is to go out for an RFP and a different system? Because the budget manager in my office does not speak very highly of the current system.
Yeah. We would definitely go out for an RFP. I know that the existing system we have, which is a CGI product, you know, they do have a new Windows, you know, interface. I mean, it's much better than it was 10 years ago. That said, we would go out. I will say we did some preliminary, not an RFP by any means, but we talked to them. They said they thought, you know, we could do this for $1 million, which is a low-end cost estimate. We did also talk to SAP because they have a budget module as well for public sector. They estimated it would be $3.5 million. So, again, we would have to gauge at the time we went out how much the cost would actually be. And there's a lot of variation in terms of these products and what we get.
Yeah. Andrew, for the technologically challenged among us, when you talk about the software failing, is that something you'd have notice of? Would it start failing in little bits, or would it just one day would all be gone?
That's a good question. I think it's possible. We would see that. And, you know, there may be, I mean, to the extent something did fail, we may be able to fix it. I mean, it's unsupported by the vendor. We have great people in Bureau of Technology Services. And so, you know, it's possible we'd be able to fix it or make tweaks or workarounds. I can't say for sure.
Andrew, I'm going to assume that there's a server-side component for this and that clients connect to that server. And so just to speculate, to answer your question, Commissioner Novick, if the server side were to go down and they weren't able to bring it back up because it's an obsolete product running on an unsupported operating system, then you could potentially not have that service at all anymore. I mean, the clients would run, but there would be nothing to talk to.
I'm assuming you have it all backed up so that you have that information.
Yeah, the data is all actually, there's an interface with SAP. So actually all the data comes in, and yes, it is backed up what's in there as well.
So I have a question about the item below that on the spreadsheet here, which is eliminating the Hatfield Fellow. Having introduced the wonderful person this morning, we're now eliminating that position.
Yes. Well, fortunately, she found a job. So it's not actually her. So we've had enough money in our budget the last 2 years to hire a Hatfield Fellow. It's $35,000. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a very cost-effective program. For $35,000, you get a full-time person for 8 months. And again, a recent graduate of a public administration or public policy program. She happened to be from the LBJ School in Texas. Because of the recommendation also from one of my analysts regarding the enterprise server, which we talked about a little while ago, the recommendation was instead of new general fund, take the existing savings from CBO and OMF, we're currently paying, and transfer that over to the police bureau because, again, our costs are going down and their costs are going up. I think that recommendation makes a lot of sense, but it does mean that we'll need to take, you know, a roughly $30,000, you know, reduction in our budget. At this point, that's where that reduction would come from.
Well, that's extremely noble of you, but I think that it is good to have internship positions, especially getting the cream of the crop from great places and giving them an entry into government service. So I would suggest we might revisit that. Thank you for offering.
All right. Any other questions, instructions, requests?
So we're back on tomorrow. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. This is the last day of the week, so just hang in there. And we're going to do economic development from 1 to 3 and then complete neighborhoods from 3 to 5.
Thank you all.